couple hours ago now of our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. By the way, any of you on the East Coast, up in that area, or even in the Midwest, or wherever you may be, if you had a chance to run out and see the meteor shower, check in with us as well. Let me know what you're seeing out there. They say that you could get 100 of them per hour, maybe 1,000. That's a lot. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll get going here on Open Lines on Coast to Coast Day Out. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. You know, last week when we had the incredible fires in San Diego County, we did our little consciousness experiment to try to get a little rain. The next day, I did get emails from several people down that way that said that it was starting to get misty. It wasn't a real heavy rain, but it was getting misty down there. It works. It works. Maybe we'll do another one, too. But let's go to the phones. We've got a couple hours of open lines here for you. Don't forget, we're taking your text questions as well. We will go to Josh in Barstow, California, to get things started. Josh, good morning to you.
Hi. First, I want to say thank you so much, George. I love listening to your show on my drive home every night or every morning.
Well, thank you.
But what I want to talk about is I'm a big aviation enthusiast, and I want to know what happened to missing Flight 19. The flight of Avengers that were out on a training mission in Florida.
Near the Bermuda Triangle, right?
Yeah. A lot of people say that they went around the bottom half of the Florida Panhandle. A lot of people say they just flew out over into the Bahamas. I'm really curious to know what happened to them.
What do you think, first of all? And then I'll throw in some of my two cents.
I think what happened is they did get lost, and they're up towards the upper half of the Bermuda, not the Bermuda, but the Bahamas, and they just ran out of fuel. I mean, there's radio communications saying that they're running low on fuel, and I think that's just what happened is they got lost and they ran out of fuel and had to put it down in the ocean.
There were five of them that disappeared.
Yep.
Were they following a lead plane?
They were. It was from what I understand, it was a brand new pilot that was in the lead. They were following his instruction. They were all to go on a routine bombing run for a training purpose. Halfway into it, their compass started going haywire. Communication was getting lost halfway through, and I believe they just seemed to have gotten lost. They didn't know where they were. They thought they were over down where they were supposed to be, and it turned out that they were possibly somewhere else.
All right, I'll throw in some of my thoughts on this. First of all, Flight 19, it was a destination. There were five Avenger torpedo bombers, as they called them. They disappeared over the Bermuda Triangle. This was on December 5th of 1945, and it was on a training flight. It was weird from the Naval Air Station near Fort Lauderdale, and I've been there before. 14 airmen on the flight were lost. 14. It gets even stranger because they had what was called a PBM Mariner flying boat. It was part of the search effort. 13 crew members on that. That blew up in midair, and they died. Navy investigators could not determine the cause of the loss of the Flight of 19, but they said the aircraft may have become disoriented and ditched in rough seas after running out of fuel. But all of them, if indeed the Bermuda Triangle has these strange electromagnetic interference areas, this green mist, as you've heard us talk about before in the program, I wonder if they flew into it, got totally disoriented, and something happened. It is a strange, strange story indeed. Next up, we go to first-time caller Michael, Fresno, California. Michael, you are up with us. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good, Michael. How about you? You okay?
I'm doing great, thanks. Long-time listener. Hey, I'm a good friend of Nicholas Bilardis, and I interviewed him on my radio show yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, super. What kind of show do you have, and where is it? How do people
hear? It's a literary arts radio show. I interview poets and writers. I'm based in Fresno, California.
Good for you. If people want to listen to you, how do they find you?
KFCF.org.
Okay, great. Super. Yeah, he's quite a character, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's a really good guy. He does his homework. He's really into the weirdness of facts, and it was a pleasure. It was a joy having him on the show.
Yeah, it's fun. I had a good time with him, too. All right, well, how'd you get into radio?
Well, I wanted to talk. This was sort of a peculiar thing, but over in Fresno, California, you know, we have a very large street gang problem. And one particular gang called the Bulldogs, they wear Bulldog jerseys from Fresno State, from the university.
Okay.
So in a weird kind of way, they support the university, and then they also do the criminal activity. And you can go to a Fresno State Bulldog gang and, you know, cheer for your home team along with gang members, which is
that's weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is
bizarre. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of peculiar.
All right, Michael, keep doing what you do. Good luck on your radio show, too. If we can help you in any way, let me know. Let's go out to one of my favorite towns. Used to go there as a kid every summer, Boston, Massachusetts. Mike's with us. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, Josh. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I'm doing fine.
Hey, I was living in North Conway, New Hampshire, and we were 22 miles out. I was coming back from Boston. We were 22 miles out, and Route 16 goes right through the forest. And all of a sudden, three red dots came over the top of the car and followed us. As we're driving along, the guy driving and myself, we couldn't believe what we were seeing. And it just, like, it was awesome. It was like three red dots in front of us. And he was like, you hold the wheel, I want to watch. And I'm trying to drive from the passenger seat. And when we got about 5 miles out of North Conway, the one on the left-hand side just shot off into the air, and you couldn't even see it. It
wow.
was gone.
So they were all separate. It wasn't attached to something big.
No. There was just three red dots in front of us. And the one on the right-hand side shot off and ended up, it looked like it went into Mount Chicora Lake. It just, like, boom, it was gone into the lake. And then the one that was in the lead the whole time, he just, like, you could just see, like, afterburners almost, like, coming on, and he was gone, straight ahead.
Of course, you know, Mike, somebody will say, well, they were just conventional aircraft.
Oh, hell no. No.
These, not at all.
Not at all.
I would love these to see occupants. Wouldn't you like to see little ETs in those things?
I would love to see ETs in those things.
Would it scare you?
No, it didn't scare me. I was actually fascinated by it. But it was like the most exciting thing in my life. I was just like hooked onto it. And as we were driving, it was like they would, like you would go around the corner and we would lose them and they had stopped and waited for us. I'm serious.
Yeah,
it was like,
that's great. Or taunted you.
I'm sorry?
Or taunted you, right? Like you can't catch us.
Yes. But it was like we're in Tamworth when they started following us, and it was 22 miles to where we were going, and we finally lost them about 5 miles from the house. So they followed us for like 17, 18 miles. Well, we were following them, actually. But it was the most incredible thing. There was three of them, and they just stayed in a little formation and just like drove through the woods with us. They weren't above the woods. They were actually on the road. They weren't, they had to be.
They were hovering the road, you mean?
Yes. They were in between the trees.
Reminds me of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, in that scene where all those UFOs came flying by the cars, you know, hovering like 3 feet above the ground and zooming into that. Let's take Blair in Scottsdale, Arizona on the wild card line. Blair, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. I'm a big Moody Blues fan, and I remember last month George Knapp lamented on his program that the Moody Blues are still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And
isn't that weird that they're not?
Yeah, I mean, the Dave Clark Five are, I mean, and they were good for 64 and 65, but the Moody Blues, they've been, this is what, 40, 45 years, going on 50 years?
That's strange. Pat Boone tried to get into that, too. That didn't happen for him either.
Yeah, well, anyway, this might be apocryphal, but I did meet Mike Pinder, the founding member. He played the Mellotron, that keyboard instrument that played analog tapes.
Yeah.
That's where you get that nice sound. And he was in Hawaii, and I heard a story that he said he saw a Pleiadian beam ship, and it experienced him in such a way that he put the sounds he heard of the beam ship on a song called Procession on the album Every Good Boy Deserves Favor back in 1971. And the funny thing is, George, when you interviewed Michael Horn in 2002,
mm-hmm.
He played some Billy Meyer beamship sounds.
That's right.
It sounded pretty much the same,
yeah,
identical.
They were close. Isn't that weird?
You bet. You bet.
Hey, how are things? I know you're normally in Sedona, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm down here for the conference, so I'm going to see you and Tom and Richard tomorrow.
I look forward to that. Now, how are the fires in the Sedona area?
Well, let's see. It's been going on for 4 days now. It's only 5% containment, 11 square miles, 7,500 acres. And if you imagine Flagstaff and Sedona, if you imagine the edge of the Colorado Plateau with Flagstaff at 7,000 feet, and then it's like a sheer drop of 2,000 feet drop, and then down below that drop is Sedona. And then there's Oak Creek Canyon that connects the two, and that's the National Auto Club, George, ranks as one of the top 10 scenic drives in America.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, and Slide Rock State Park is where it happened, the natural water slide. You slide down Oak Creek on a natural water slide. So the winds just blow up there and just like a vacuum tunnel and just went right up there, and it was threatening some homes in Flagstaff. Luckily, the winds changed, and they say there's a 10 to 30% chance of rain tomorrow on Saturday. So, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully something will happen there, but it's sort of Sedonan folks are really crestfallen. The people in Flagstaff are, we get our share of the smoke and stuff. It's really sort of a sad thing to see those ponderosa pines go up just like in a snap.
Sure,
like that.
Okay, I'll see you in a few hours, Blair.
Okay, George.
All right, that is it. Maybe we should concentrate on a little rain in the Flagstaff Sedona area too, huh? You want to do that? Go for it. Tom, anyways, you got a text message for me. What do you have?
I do, but first of all, if I want to live another day, I better not forget to say happy birthday to Raquel. So happy birthday, Raquel.
I almost forgot.
I know you did. This one coming from Sam in West Palm Beach says, George, I've heard you make reference several times about running for president. I'm wondering what's your first move that you would make to help our country?
Ha, 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 ha.
Good question.
You know what? There would be a lot of things that we would do. Now, first of all, I'm not a candidate. Thank you for considering that, but I'm not. I would go to a fair tax. I'm a very huge supporter of that. You know, we had the judge on last night, and, you know, we agree with that. I think
yes.
Americans deserve to have 100% of their money. I think Americans deserve to be told the truth about things. I would also implement something with the Alaska pipeline. I would use it to pay off our trillions of dollars of debt, try to get the budget, of course, balanced. But I would set up a profit-sharing thing where every tax-paying American would be an owner in that pipeline system, and that you'd get a check every year. I don't know how much it would be, $500, $10,000. I have
like
no idea.
I like that.
But you'd be a partner in the resources. You know, and what a great way to take care of people.
Okay, so you're voted in. They swear you in. You're at your desk. What's your very first move?
Well, I go back to our network president and say, now that I'm elected, do you mind if I continue doing Coast
Please
to Coast?
Please do my show.
And we'll do it out of the White House.
Excellent.
That would be a great. That would not that be fun?
That would be fun. From the Oval Office.
I'd also try to. I would put you in charge of looking for in uncovering the UFO cases.
Does that mean that any time anybody's around, I have to say, yes, Mr. President?
Of course. But do you know who would be great for that job?
Peter Davenport.
And Steve Bassett.
And Steve, yeah, Steve.
Turn Steve loose in Washington, where he lives most of the time.
Oh,
and let him with presidential powers to uncover the UFO cases.
That would probably be the best thing, except for disclosure, that would happen to him in his life.
You think I could win?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. What party would I use?
That's up to you.
You know, here's the sad part about it. You have to be, to win, realistically, a Democrat or a Republican.
But maybe you could change things.
Perot couldn't do it. You know, the judge, the Libertarian Party, great people, great ideas. I don't think they can do it. I just think this country is mired in a two-party system. And you'd have to, regardless of what you were, you'd have to be one of those two to run. And then, of course, you know, the simplest thing, you know how, you know, nonpartisan I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would pick for the cabinet the best people I can. I could care less what party they are affiliated
with. Well, you're always saying people aren't going to take it anymore. So maybe if you run and not on a party basis, you just run because you run, you're not one party or another, they might change.
But I will not be running, Tom.
Just throwing out ideas.
Let's go to Kevin in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to the program. Kevin.
Hello there.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm actually a longtime listener. I've been listening since I was a little kid in San Francisco. My parents always had you guys on. And
how old are you now?
I'm actually 22. I just graduated from Johns Hopkins University.
Well, good for you. Great school.
Yeah. I actually was calling because I'm actually doing research, historical research on the history of Johns Hopkins. There's a lot of crazy stuff that people don't know about. I think there's a lot of experiments during the 20s and 30s that were conducted here at Johns Hopkins, including famous cases like Little Albert, Henrietta Locks, and stuff. But what most people don't know is that Johns Hopkins actually has its own secret society called, I think it's called the Ubiquitors. It was actually founded as a branch of the OTO by Aleister Crowley back in the day.
Yeah.
So
very dark.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of history. But actually, the things I wanted to call you about was, I remember one of the most famous stories when I was listening to you guys back in the day. I think it was Art Bell who was around that time. Back in San Francisco, there's a place in Golden Gate Park.
Okay.
Where it's at night, it becomes very, very creepy because Golden Gate Park in San Francisco was the place of a lot of hangings back in the day. So you would always, people would say, my parents would all say, you could see ghosts in the trees, kind of joking around. But there's actually a strange law that I heard that if you're driving through Golden Gate Park and a police car sirens you and tries to stop you, you're allowed to continue driving until you leave Golden Gate Park before you stop the police car.
Because it could possibly be a trick. And I think you're absolutely, absolutely right there. So you got to be careful. Hey, we're going to come back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Stay connected to your favorite radio station. Stay connected to this program. You can download the free iHeartRadio app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. You don't have to worry about missing a live program anymore. Go to the gym, in the yard, walking the dog, you name it. Just go to iHeartRadio, pick up the app in the stores, and there you go for that. Hey, by the way, it's also our time to give a great shout out to those of you listening to Coast on our more than 570 radio stations across North America. You know, we just picked up two new ones in New Jersey, by the way. Coast Insiders, thank you. And XM Talk, channel 104. And then how about the various chat rooms and groups? Into Infinity, great people there. Fantastic Forum 2. Imaginative World Sorcery IRC. Those of us who like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, who will actually be cooking for me next week. Thanks for listening to Coast Day Out. Okay, well, we're back. You had an opportunity to listen to your local station there doing what they do, and here we are again, open lines for you. And the travel schedule, of course, will be in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Earth Keeper event. Should be a massive sized event. We're all looking forward to that quick flight tomorrow morning. And there we will be. If you're out in that area, come on by and say hi. Let's go to Cheryl in Huntington Beach, California, on the wild card line. Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Mr. Norrie. And I would vote for you if you ran for president.
Well, I've got one then. Hey.
You'll have more than one, trust me. Anyway, I thank you for taking the call. And also thank you for serving. I want to say that. Oh, and all the veterans, happy Memorial Day. And God bless everyone.
Very kind of you. You know what? And that's so important, Cheryl, that people should remember. When they're out there with friends, barbecuing, doing whatever they do on Monday, to just take a little minute to remember those soldiers past and present who have done what they've done for all of us.
Amen for that, and I do. I come from a long military family, yes, I do. Mostly Navy, but every other one as well. So thank you very much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And my question was to you, the gentleman that was on earlier, I actually was born in Massachusetts, and we were poor when I was very young. And thank God we moved out here because I would never survive the winters.
Oh, they were cold, yeah. And whereabouts, by the way, in Massachusetts? Where you?
I'm from Methuen, Mass.
Okay, now I don't know where that is. My mother was born in Fitchburg. Do you know where that is?
Oh, yeah, I have family in Fitchburg.
Okay.
Yeah, my maiden name was Melanson, M-E-L-A-N-S-O-N.
I knew you. No, I'm kidding.
That's funny, because I've been here since I was like 6 in California.
Right.
But my question was that we lived on a chicken farm, believe it or not, in a place called Salem, New Hampshire. And not too far away from there was a museum of witches, you know,
right.
A witch museum.
Yeah.
And Salem Depot, I believe it was. Anyway, they had stakes out in the fields, and I remember as a child looking over, and I could see, like, the witches. And I was wondering, is there a residue of people that have been burned, you know, at the stake, and only younger children or, you know, younger adults? Because my parents couldn't see them, but my brother and I could.
Well, you know what? Younger kids, I think, have a gift to see much more than older people do. I think older people create a barrier. But then as you get older, it sometimes goes away. And has it gone away for you?
No, not at all. In fact, I talked to you, I believe, last month about when I was in New Zealand. I lived in New Zealand, and I saw a monk that had come through my home.
Well, that was you?
And
okay.
That was me. And,
right.
And the cemetery was actually, the house was built on the cemetery where the priest has been buried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was me. And it was so strange that I had seen those when I was young. But, I mean, we used to see the witches running through the fields all the time,
jeez.
Day, night, anytime.
Did any of them have red hair? I have to know that.
No, none of them have red hair, believe it or not.
I didn't think so. I always thought witches had dark hair.
No, they did. These ones did anyway. I don't know.
Not that every person with dark hair is a witch, but
no,
the witches had
not.
Dark hair.
No, of course
I've
not.
Clarify that.
That's funny. Good luck in Sedona. I hope
Scottsdale.
The fire is
Scottsdale. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Let's go to Denver, one of our great spots where we go every month to tape our Beyond Belief television shows. Jeremiah is there. Hey, Jeremiah, you had some rough weather there yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been hailing and raining pretty bad here for the last couple
of
days.
I know we were there just a few weeks ago and got hit with that snowstorm. I couldn't
believe
that.
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
Yeah. But we got out. Anyways, what's going on?
So, first-time caller. I always try and call every once in a while and just kind of give up after a couple minutes. So, on the topic of tonight, as far as, you know, creepy stories
creepy,
and creepy, whatnot,
bizarre stuff, yeah.
If you've ever heard of here in Denver in southeast out towards Aurora and Smoky Hill, there's a bridge called Third Bridge. And say for the last 200 years, there was a massacre there, I believe, with Sioux Indians. There was a man whose wife and child were torn out of the house and the house was burnt down. Another man back in 99 or 97 that was found there, murdered, a bag over his head and all that. And then another wreck of some teenagers in a car where one of the drivers or passengers had gotten thrown from the car, another one had killed. So a lot of horrendous things happening there. And just basically calling in, you know, anyone in Denver, anyone that's ever in Colorado looking for supernatural things, that's one big landmark.
Huge.
As far as, you know, whether it's the ghost making the story or the story making the ghost. I've been out there a couple times, and between hearing supposed drums, children crying, them younger, I guess, female voice, and just little things like that. And then I grew up in southern Colorado in San Luis Valley, where we had a lot of, I guess, UFO and activity in the sky. So Colorado is a big, big area for a lot of the supernatural.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, and hearing those little voices, that's kind of eerie, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was, while listening to your radio program earlier, I was looking up stories on it, and there was a woman who had stopped there. They had looked around and heard some stuff out in the dark, and kind of got spooked, and I guess for 5-10 minutes went into the car and decided to go back out. And as they heard some scampering in the dirt, just like if you hear footsteps crossing a road, they turned around, nothing was there. And as they approached the car, there were handprints that were
yeah,
basically scrubbed across the dirt on the car. And of course, it to be that low and that small, it's pinpointed on the child. But yeah, it's one of those creepy stories that always come out of that.
I love it. Thanks, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. And there's a story in Belleville, Illinois. Apparently, a little boy died on train tracks. And if you park by the train tracks, you're pushed off the tracks. The little kid doesn't want you on the train tracks. You shouldn't be there anyway. And if you put a little talcum powder there on the bumper, you will have little kid handprints there. That's kind of eerie. Tommy, you got another text for me.
That may be one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah,
tell.
That is strange.
This one from Jennifer in Los Angeles. Serial killers and murder cases fascinate me. What are your thoughts on the famous Lizzie Borden case?
Lizzie Borden. Well, we couldn't call Lizzie a serial killer.
No, she says murderers, too.
And she was never convicted.
Okay.
Right?
Wannabe murderers.
You can't say that. She was not convicted. According to our law, Tom, that
yes,
if you are acquitted, you are not a murderer. It's, you know, there's some people think they've committed murders, but they were acquitted. So legally, they are not. Lizzie Borden was never convicted of axing to death her parents.
No, but with the processes now, they can go back and study.
Now you can go back, study, and do some DNA and find out what happened.
So maybe they'll get her.
They should. Are they doing that?
I saw something on TV a couple months ago talking about what they could do. I never heard them actually say they are doing it.
That would be a great show.
Oh, fantastic.
Speaking of shows,
yes,
you go to Vegas once in a while, right?
I do.
Have you ever been to the pawn shop that's on the History Channel?
I have. Those guys,
because sometimes their program is before our Ancient Alien show.
I have.
I hear it is very small.
It's very small. It's packed when you walk in, and you should have dollars in your pocket when you walk in.
We have a guest next Tuesday. She's talking about police states.
Right.
But her last name is Chumbly.
Yes. Like.
And isn't that the kid's name?
Chumbly, yeah.
That's
one of them.
Yeah. Chumbly.
Good show.
All right, see you. Next, we go to, who's up? I say, I've got a clock on this computer. And it tells me who's been on hold the longest. Theodore, east of the Rockies, is in Baltimore, and he's been on for 32 and a half minutes.
Hi, Mr. Nard. Let me give you the 10 most definitive mysteries of all time. Number one, how the prison was built. Number two, Jack the Ripper, who, why. Mm-hmm. Number three, location of the Garden of Eden. Number four, Genghis Khan tomb. Number five, the great Aztec treasures that they left. Number six, is there something, a Leviathan, listed, like in the Bible, greater than the whales that we haven't seen. Number seven, the Voyager still taking pictures. Why hasn't NASA revealed them? Will they ever be?
Ooh,
number eight,
I like that.
Any undiscovered, undiscovered tombs in Egypt. Number nine, any undisclosed tribes still in South America. Number 10, will Noah's Ark ever be completely revealed? And will NASA unclassify and show the pictures that they have of it over, that they've taken over Mount Ararat?
That would be a great story, wouldn't it?
And the two closing ones, titles number 10, Any Truth to the Philadelphia Experiment, What Happened to the Current Silkwood Papers? Those are the 10 greatest mysteries of all time.
I like that. I like that a lot. You know, it's too bad we've lost old Al Bielek from the Philadelphia Experiment. But his brother, Duncan Cameron, is still around. And we tried to get him for the program several months ago, and he was all set up to do it. Something happened. We should try to revisit that and see if we get him back. That's a great story, and a lot of it went away when Al Bielek passed on. We go next to Sacramento, California. Jeffrey's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hello. I've got an interesting story to tell you. It's actually two stories that go back to back.
All right.
It's important to say both of them. The first one, I went to Walmart one night. It was late, about 10 o'clock. I bought some things. I remember the change that I got. There was a $5 bill and some ones. But I remember that $5 bill. Now, when I went into Walmart, there was a woman that was panhandling, and so I avoided her, and I forgot about her when I came out, and I ended up running into her, and she asked me for some, if I had any change to spare. And I usually don't give cash out. I'll buy people food.
Okay.
But I don't give cash out, but I didn't have time to go back inside and get her anything, so I felt kind of bad as I was walking away and drove away. But I stopped at a Burger King on the way home and got something to eat. But when I went to pull out the $5 bill to pay for it, now I had some other cash, but I was looking for that $5 bill and I couldn't find it. And I'm thinking, this is strange. I know there was a $5 bill. Why can't I find it? The next day I called some friends of mine and I was kind of joking around. I said, I think I got pickpocketed by an angel. I mean, what in the world happened to this $5 bill? And I even said, well, God, if you took it, gave it to her, that's okay with me. Everything belongs to you. Now, here's the second part of the story. About 3 or 4 months later, I went to another fast food restaurant to get something to eat. And on the way in, a man came up to me and asked if I could buy two meals for him, one for him and one for his daughter, who wasn't there, but he was going to take it home to her.
Oh, my.
And so I said, okay, I didn't have a lot of money at the time, but I had enough to do that.
Good
so
for you.
We went in there and we ate together. He ate the one meal with me and then he took the other one home. And also there was a woman in there who asked for if I had any change so she could buy an ice cream cone. And I didn't have any cash on me, but I went to my truck to see if I had any. And so I had some and whatever I had I gave to her. Mm-hmm. It was enough for her to buy something. Now I noticed she looked kind of depressed. But when she walked away, she wasn't eating the ice cream. And I thought, you know, I think she actually bought it for a kid or something.
Yeah.
You know, take home and give to a child.
Could be.
Well, anyway, but on my way back to my truck, I find a $5 bill wrinkled up on the ground. And the next day, I got a $750 deposit for a drum set that a man had been talking about buying for like over 6 months. And he gave me the $750 deposit. The total price of the drum set was over $3,000.
Wow.
But he gave the $750 deposit the very next day.
See, you help people, and it comes back.
And I've had stuff like that that'll happen over and over again. I write it down now and date it.
It is really strange how that happens. It's all about karma or something, Jeff. I mean, that happens to me, too.
But the $5 bill disappearing is still a weird one that I cannot figure out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's right. Hey, let me ask you about the dinner you ate with the homeless guy, if I could call him homeless.
Well, no, he wasn't homeless. He actually said that he had a job, but he wouldn't be getting his check for about another week or two.
So he was just hungry.
Yeah, and he needed, you know, for his daughter, too.
Okay, so he was employed and everything else.
Yeah.
Was he appreciative of what you did for him?
Oh, yeah, he was very appreciative. But he told me, too, about how he had a house. He had a nice house, and he lost it. You know, with the
bubble.
Economy.
Yeah, that does happen. Okay, hey, thanks. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Time for one or two more before the break, and then another hour to go of open lines. We have Adam in Raleigh, Mississippi, first-time caller. Hey, Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's good to talk to you.
You too.
I've got two things here. One, I've been interested in astronomy since I was a kid. And I'm thinking about getting a telescope, and I was wondering if you had a preferred brand. I guess. And the other, go ahead.
The Orion telescopes, O-R-I-O-N, they're pretty good. And you can do a Google search on that.
Okay. And the other is, you talk about creepy, the Dyatlov Pass really creeped me out. And I was wondering if there was any news, I guess, about it.
I don't know about that movie, so I couldn't help you there.
No, not the movie, the story in general.
Oh, no, I don't know about that either, in terms of anything new.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's all. I appreciate it.
But get yourself a nice telescope. There's two different kinds of telescopes, a reflector type and a refractor type. One, you look straight through the tube, through the eyepiece, and the other kind of reflects. It's kind of like it's bigger where you can stand on the side and look into it. They both work. It all depends on what's easy for you. And get yourself at least a 3-inch telescope.
3-inch.
And that's the mirror size.
Oh, okay.
Okay? That's the way to do it. And, gosh, we're already done with this hour. Couple little notes. One, download our free apps. Take advantage of it. It's in the iTunes store and the Google store. Just put in Coast to Coast and grab it. Or you can go to our store at coasttocoastam.com and the apps are there for you. Grab them. Take advantage of that. So you'll have that. If you're not a Coast Insider yet and you listen to the program, you should. We've got hundreds of thousands of people following us on Facebook, liking us there. You should all be Coast Insider members. It's 15 cents a day. We wouldn't throw anything else at you anymore. We're going to come back. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM.